Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Electrical brain stimulation. It's said to help with all sorts of things, from anxiety to improved memory and better focus. Some people are so convinced of its benefits that they're doing it themselves in a practice known as brain hacking. Joining us to talk about this is Carrie Goldberg. She's editor of WBUR's Common Health blog. Hello there, Carrie.
Hey, Deb.
So, brain hacking, or I'd like to call it do-it-yourself brain zapping.
Okay.
What is it?
Well, it is what it sounds like. It's applying electrical current to your head. And I'll explain more in a minute, but here's today's news. A group of brain researchers and neurologists has just published an open letter in a journal saying, you know what? Hey, maybe it's not really such a great idea to try this stuff at home.
So enough people are actually doing this that these docs felt the need to warn people about it?
Yeah. So it turns out there's a fairly big online set of communities on Yahoo and Reddit. It's definitely a thing. It's been covered in Wired and in The Economist. And so here's what the deal is. You know that your brain function involves electricity, right? Like you hear about neurons firing. And you've probably heard that thousands and thousands of Parkinson's disease patients have gotten what's called deep brain stimulation. That's where they implant an electrical stimulator deep into your brain. So that's called invasive brain stimulation. But there's also non-invasive brain stimulation.
So no surgery.
Right. No surgery. You just apply pretty low-level current to the outside of your head, and you hope that it affects the firing of your neurons in a particular part of your brain. And hope is the operative word here because, you're hoping that it will work. You don't actually know. One form of this non-invasive type is called TDCS, for transcranial direct current stimulation. And it's used in a lot of lab studies in academia, but it is so simple to do. Like, you're using pretty much just a battery and some wet sponges if you're doing it in a very primitive way, that some people are trying it at home. And there are also some commercial versions that have come onto the market, and more of them are expected. So just to be clear, these are people who don't have any sort of a disorder. They just want to kind of generally make their brains better.
Just a self-improvement kind of thing.
Right. So even though the science is far from decided, there have been lots of published studies on this. And I mean lots, like hundreds. And they suggest that this non-invasive brain stimulation, this transcranial direct current stimulation, could, and I say could, do everything from improve your math skills to help your memory to lift your depression or anxiety.
And we should say, right, these are very, very low levels of electricity. We're not talking about electroconvulsive therapy or anything.
Not at all. This is 100 or hundreds of times less than what you see in electroconvulsive shock therapy. It's pretty benign. So these do-it-yourselfers, and they tend to be youngish men, although not only, they read these studies and they say, hey, you know, why not? Give it a try. So it has reached the point that this open letter, which is just out in the journal Annals of Neurology, is trying to be sort of like a counterweight or a reality check for all those rosy-sounding studies. So I spoke with its co-author, Dr. Michael Fox. He's a brain stimulation specialist at Harvard Med School and Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. And he says, you know, of course, academics naturally try to sell their science, you know, make it sound good. But what they publish might not emphasize the potential downsides enough. And he says the biggest risk is that we don't even know what all the risks are, and we may not see a problem right away. Although, of course, if you burn your scalp, you'll know it.
But when you're actually modulating brain activity, there's so little that we understand about that, whether you're doing it with TDCS or doing it with something else, that the risk that you do something that you're not intending to do when you're playing around with things that we don't understand is quite high. And that some of these risks, unlike burns on the skin, might not be obvious.
So, Deb, here are a couple of examples. One paper found that if you stimulate your brain to, let's say, learn new material faster, it'll actually get harder for you to process the material that you've already learned. Or another example, like, our brains are so variable that in one person, the brain stimulation could do one thing, and in another person, the very same brain stimulation could do the exact opposite. Or even in the same person, the effects might vary depending on whether you had coffee that day or your hormone levels.
So basically, don't try this at home.
Right. And, you know, they're not saying don't do this no matter what, but just like be aware of the risks. And Dr. Michael Fox says there are even some reports of people trying it on their kids. So I asked him what protocols are causing the most concern. And he says some people are using this transcranial direct current stimulation much more often and for much longer than has ever been tried in the lab.
And we simply have no idea what that does to brain activity. And I don't know that any hospital review board would actually let us do that experiment. And so we might never know what exactly that does to brain activity.
And, you know, he says people at home are going to do what they're going to do. But this letter is aimed at least informing them and telling them, giving them some balance so that it's not just an endless stream of studies saying, hey, you know, this can do this and this can do that.
And what about regulations?
Yes, that's the next question. We spoke with Anna Wexler. She's a grad student at MIT who's been studying and writing about these do-it-yourself brain hackers. And she says that this non-invasive brain stimulation is in a kind of a betwixt and between zone right now because it's not clear who's going to regulate it. It's in part because it's totally not clear whether this can be considered a medical device. Like if the companies that make these stimulators don't claim they treat disease, they're more about, you know, what's called cognitive enhancement, like power up your mind. So is that a medical device?
And how right? about these brain hackers themselves? How are they reacting to this letter?
Well, they have, you know, these big online communities. There's one on Reddit, and I took a look, and some of them are bristling and saying, you know, don't tell me what not to do. But others are saying, you know, this is pretty reasonable. One said, you know, if you choose to use a homemade stimulation machine, that's your decision. No one's going to break down your door and stop you. But scientists do have an obligation to tell you that you probably shouldn't do something to yourself that isn't well understood.
So would you try it?
I'm sticking with coffee for now.
All right. Carrie Goldberg, editor of WBUR's Common Health blog. Thanks, as always.
Welcome.
You can find a link to Carrie's Common Health post on brain hacking at our website, radioboston.org. Stay with us. Coming up, the role of the humble lighthouse in the founding of our country. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.